The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Pat Perry for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Money Matters. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. For that next half hour, I will be reading to you from the News and Observer. Today's stories include Apple's new campus to bring $1 billion and 3,000 jobs to the state, and durable goods orders in U.S. rise less than forecast. We'll begin with Apple's new campus to bring $1 billion and 3,000 jobs to the state. After more than 3 years of courting and an initial snub, North Carolina is finally landing an Apple campus. Apple plans to invest $1 billion in North Carolina over 10 years, including $552 million to establish a campus in Research Triangle Park, where it will create at least 3,000 jobs, according to the State Department of Commerce. The company says it will spend another $448 million expanding its data center in Catawba County, but not create new jobs there. The RTP jobs would pay an average of $187,000 a year, according to the Commerce Department. The company's decision was announced Monday morning at the monthly meeting of the Economic Investment Committee, which makes decisions about job development grants. The committee approved a jobs grant of $845.8 million over 39 years to Apple. North Carolina's competition for the project was primarily Ohio, said Mark Poole at the Commerce Department. But there were a number of other states considered. The Jobs Development Investment Grant Award to Apple is the largest in the state's history, more than twice the $387 million awarded to healthcare company Centene Corporation last summer to create an East Coast headquarters and technology hub in Charlotte. In addition, $112.4 million from state income taxes paid by Apple's new employees will flow to a utility fund for broadband, roads, bridges, and other infrastructure projects in rural communities. Wake County also offered Apple a business development grant that will pay 50% of new property tax growth back to the company after it has met minimum investment requirements. Normally, that grant is good for only 8 years, but the county has offered to extend it for 30 years due to the transformational nature of the project, County Spokeswoman Dara Demme said. The campus will be 1 million square feet on the Wake County side of RTP, on tracts of land straddling NC 540 near Cary and Morrisville. It will run on 100% renewable energy, the company said. Governor Roy Cooper, State Senate Leader Phil Berger, House Speaker Tim Moore, and other leaders from both political parties held a rare joint news conference at the Executive Mansion to celebrate the announcement. As Apple CEO Tim Cook told me on Saturday, with this announcement, Apple is showing that they're not just creating new jobs and building a campus, said Cooper, a Democrat. They want to be a committed partner with our state for the long term. I told him that we look forward to that partnership. Berger, a Republican, said Apple's decision is a result of the state's efforts to improve its business climate. There is a reason this transformative project isn't happening somewhere else, Berger said. We've spent 10 years enacting a responsible budget, lowering taxes, and making regulations reasonable, the winning formula for job creation. That formula, combined with education reform and funding, is attractive to job creators, big and small, Berger continued. Today, that job creator happens to be the biggest company in the world. State Senator Dan Blue, who represents Wake County, compared Apple's arrival to IBM's decision to come to RTP in the 1960s, establishing the Triangle as a place for other technology companies to settle. It's not just Apple that we celebrate coming here today, but it is the ecosystem that it brings with it, Blue said. Just as we saw IBM transform a region, we will see the same kind of benefit from this decision by Apple. In a statement Monday, Scott Levitin, president and CEO of the Research Triangle Foundation, echoed that idea, saying that while transformational events have occurred at RTP for decades, Apple is among our most extraordinary. Despite all the celebration from politicians from both parties, some criticize the tax breaks used to help lure Apple. The John Locke Foundation, a conservative think tank based in Raleigh, said the government shouldn't pick business winners and losers. While the announcement of thousands of potential jobs coming to the Triangle is welcome news, the latest Apple incentive deal represents another case of big government and big business in bed together, Brian Balfour, the group's senior vice president of research, said in a written statement. Imagine being a small business owner who has paid taxes in North Carolina for years, hearing that one of the largest corporations on the planet will be getting a massive tax break, Balfour continued. Such crony deals serve to centralize more economic power in the hands of politicians and their hand-picked corporations, leaving small businesses and other taxpayers to pay the bill. The new North Carolina campus is part of the company's plan to invest $430 billion and add 20,000 new jobs across the United States in the next 5 years, Apple announced Monday morning. As a North Carolina native, I'm thrilled Apple is expanding and creating new long-term job opportunities in the community I grew up in, Jeff Williams, Apple's chief operating officer, said in a written statement included in a news release from the company. Williams graduated from NC State University and earned his MBA at Duke University. We're proud that this new investment will also be supporting education and critical infrastructure projects across the state, he said. Apple has been a part of North Carolina for nearly two decades, and we're looking forward to continuing to grow and a bright future ahead. The new jobs will be in machine learning, artificial intelligence, software engineering, and other related fields, according to the news release. Apple will also establish a $100 million fund to support schools and community initiatives in the greater Raleigh-Durham area and across the state, according to the news release. When up and running, Apple's investments are expected to generate over $1.5 billion in economic benefits annually for North Carolina. Apple announced in early 2018 its plans to add an additional campus. North Carolina rose as a contender, with Cooper reportedly meeting with Apple CEO Cook in the midst of negotiations. In mid-2018, state legislative leaders reduced the threshold for both investment and new jobs required for so-called transformative projects under one of the state's largest incentive programs, the News and Observer reported. With those changes, a company that creates 3,000 jobs and invests $1 billion can receive a grant equivalent to 90% of its employees' state income tax payments for up to 30 years, according to the Economic Development Partnership of North Carolina. In late 2018, North Carolina was seemingly out of the running with Apple announcing a new campus in Austin, Texas, and additional plans for Seattle, San Diego, Pittsburgh, and other cities. Raleigh and North Carolina weren't mentioned in those plans, and state leaders for the last 2 years have maintained the recruitment of Apple remained an open project. Apple selecting Austin was the third significant economic investment the state missed in 2018. Amazon chose Virginia and initially New York to split its new HQ2 facility after the Triangle was one of 20 locations in the running for the second campus. Austin was also tapped for the Army's Futures Command Center, which would have brought 500 jobs. We're delighted that Apple chose Wake County as the site for its newest research and development campus, Wake County Commissioner Chair Matt Calabria said in the news release. An investment of this magnitude is transformational for our community, bringing great jobs and long-term economic benefits. It also proves that we have the right combination of talent and innovation to attract industry-leading companies who want an exceptional quality of life for their employees. This is Apple's second significant investment in the state. In 2009, the company arrived in the Catawba County town of Maiden to set up its data center that employs about 200 employees. Apple also has retail stores in North Carolina, including in Durham and Raleigh, in addition to the new jobs at the RTP. The company is expected to retain 1,100 positions elsewhere in the state, according to the Commerce Department. Cooper said the repeal and expiration of legislation that targeted transgender people were a factor in Apple's decision to come to North Carolina. Apple initially faced backlash from LGBTQ activists for considering the state for a campus in 2018. The state was still reeling from its legacy of House Bill 2, which required transgender men and women in schools and other government buildings to use the restroom matching the gender on their birth certificate instead of the gender they identify with. That portion of the law was repealed in 2017, but another part prevented cities from enacting local anti-discrimination ordinances. That part of the law expired in December 2020. Since then, several cities have updated their non-discrimination ordinances to add protections for the LGBTQ community. Apple's announcement shows that North Carolina is turning the page on the horrendous legacy of House Bill 2 and the 5 years of trauma it wrought on our state, said Kendra Johnson, executive director of Equality NC. She said the group was thrilled Apple has chosen to come. As a champion of equality and the needs of LGBTQ Americans, we know that the jobs, industry, and prospects created by Apple's expansion into the Triangle will greatly benefit the communities that we serve, Johnson said. We still have a lot of work to do to protect the most vulnerable LGBTQ North Carolinians, but we can rest assured that pro-equality companies expanding within our state signals a new chapter for our communities and the path ahead. After news of the campus broke, many on social media wondered about the impact on the prices of homes, increased traffic, and increased gentrification for Wake County. Growth brings challenges, Cooper said during the news conference, adding working with local governments and investing in the needed infrastructure will be key. There's an opportunity for the state to use federal American Rescue Act money for affordable housing and to help people obtain degrees they would need to qualify for the types of jobs Apple and other companies will likely bring, Cooper said. So, yes, with growth comes challenges and traffic, housing, and everything else, but we know that this growth is going to be good for our state overall, he said. About 1 in 4 of Wake County's households are cost burdened, meaning they pay more than 30% of their family budget on rent and utilities. About 41% of all Wake County renters and 16% of homeowners struggle to afford their homes. Wake County has been laser focused on equity and affordable housing, Calabria said, adding it is close to completing its goal to add 2,500 affordable housing units to the county. Overall, the big issue here is affordable housing. Transit, other quality of life issues have long been a point of focus for the county, he said. Our job is to make sure we are prepared for this and that we are helping the people here. Next, durable goods orders in U.S. rise less than forecast. Orders for U.S. durable goods rose less than expected in March as a decrease in bookings for commercial aircraft interrupted recent strength in manufacturing. Bookings for durable goods or items meant to last at least 3 years increased 0.5% from the prior month after a revised 0.9% decrease in February, Commerce Department figures showed Monday. Orders excluding transportation equipment rose 1.6% in line with projections. The median estimates in a Bloomberg survey of economists called for a 2.3% increase total durables order. The softer March figures on the heels of a decline in February represent a departure from other manufacturing data that have shown broad-based strength. Orders for commercial aircraft dropped almost 47% during the month. While the U.S. plane maker Boeing Company reported 196 orders in March, the company's strongest month of bookings since 2018 and more than double the prior month's figure, economists noticed sizable cancellations also occurred. The government's data aren't always directly comparable on a month-to-month basis. However, the report showed orders picked up for metals, machinery, motor vehicles, and communications equipment. A broader reopening of the economy and expected unleashing of pent-up consumer demand, in addition to steady corporate spending, are seen fueling overall production in the coming months. Even so, output growth will be challenged by lingering capacity constraints and supply shortages that have sparked a pickup in raw materials prices. Core capital goods orders, a category that excludes aircraft and military hardware and is seen as a barometer of business investment, rose 0.9% after a revised 0.8% decline. The median projection was for a 1.7% gain. Core capital goods shipments, a figure that will be used to calculate investment in the government's first quarter gross domestic product report Thursday, increased 1.3% in March. That brought the three-month annualized gain to 10.3%. The economy is forecast to have grown at an annualized pace of 6.6% in the first 3 months of the year as government stimulus, loosening restrictions, and millions of vaccinations bolstered growth. The durable goods data follow exceptionally strong manufacturing data seen in recent weeks. The Institute for Supply Management's factory gauge surged in March to its highest level since 1983, while regional Federal Reserve surveys improved across the board in April. Last week, IHS Market said its index of purchasing managers at manufacturers and service providers rose to a record high this month. Excluding defense, durable goods orders rose 0.5% after a 0.4% decline. Unfilled orders for durable goods increased 0.4%. Inventories of durable goods climbed 1% in March after a 0.7% rise. Orders for both fabricated metals and motor vehicles rose by the most since July. Next, soaring crop prices renew fears of food inflation. A crop rally in the U.S. is threatening to make essential food commodities drastically more expensive, and the cost could soon spill over onto grocery store shelves. Wheat, corn, and soybeans, the backbone of much of the world's diet, are all surging to the highest since 2013, after gains this week had some analysts warning that a speculative bubble was forming. Bad crop weather in key producing countries is a major culprit. Dryness in the U.S., Canada, and France is hurting wheat plants, as well as corn in Brazil. Rain in Argentina is derailing the soy harvest. Add to that the fear of drought coming to the American farm belt this summer. Meanwhile, China is gobbling up the world's grain supplies, on track to take in its biggest haul of corn imports ever as it expands its massive hog herd. Rumors are swirling that the Asian nation is working on 1 million metric tons of new corn purchases, according to Arlen Suderman, chief commodities economist at StoneX. The agriculture sector looks very appealing right now, and the money is chasing it, Suderman said. The agricultural rally is stirring food inflation fears because staple crops heavily influence consumer prices for everything from bread and pizza dough to meat and even soda. The Bloomberg Agriculture Spot Index, which tracks key farm products, soared the most in almost 9 years last week. The higher prices are also helping to drive even broader gains across the commodities complex, with metals such as palladium and copper rallying on a comeback in industrial operations around the world. Wheat climbed as much as 4.7% to $7.46 a bushel, the priciest since February 2013. Fresh buyers are starting to step in, with both Egypt and Bangladesh issuing new tenders. Corn rose by the 25-cent exchange limit to as high as $6.575 per bushel, the highest since May 20th, 2013. Soybeans increased as much as 1.9% to $15.44 a bushel, the highest since June 5th, 2013. Soybean oil traded at levels not seen in a decade. An expected increase in Canada's canola acreage won't be enough to alleviate tight inventories, according to Farmers Business Network. The U.S. will update planting progress and crop condition figures later Monday in Washington. Bullish investor momentum has yet to fade. Net long soybean bets surged the most since September in the week through April 20th, and money managers flipped to a positive stance on wheat. Still, soybean, wheat, and corn futures in Chicago are all trading in overbought territory with their 14-day relative strength indices above 70. indicating that prices may have risen too far too fast. Values declined in China, signaling a possible calming of shortage fears as summer crop plantings progress and hefty purchases of foreign supplies continue to arrive at ports. Next, stocks reach more records as earnings kick into high gear. Technology companies helped lift stocks modestly higher on Wall Street Monday, nudging the S&P 500 and NASDAQ indices to all-time highs. The S&P 500 rose 0.2%, with only slightly more than half the companies in the index notching gains. Banks and companies that rely on consumer spending were among the winners, outweighing a pullback in household good makers and healthcare stocks, among others. A rally in technology companies, which powered much of the market's gains in 2020, helped push the NASDAQ to its first record high since February 12th. The index fell more than 10% from that peak by March 8th, what is known as a Wall Street correction. With Monday's gain, the NASDAQ has recouped all of its losses from that March slide. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed slightly lower while small company stocks outpaced the broader market, a sign investors are feeling confident about the economy. Treasury yields were broadly higher. The market's modest gains came as investors geared up for the busiest week for earnings so far this season. Of the 500 members of the S&P 500 Index, 181 will report this week. 10 of the 30 members of the Dow will also release their results. This week is extremely important overall for the S&P 500 companies, said Quincy Crosby, chief market strategist at Prudential Financial. The S&P 500 rose 7.45 points to 4,187.62. The index has posted a weekly gain 4 out of the past 5 weeks. The NASDAQ gained 121.97 points, or 0.9%, to 14,138.78. The Dow slipped 61.92 points, or 0.2%, to 33,981.57. The Russell 2000 index of smaller companies climbed 26.15 points, or 1.2%, to 2,298.01. We have run out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. I hope you've enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I'm Pat Perry, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Money Matters is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.